Just to officially welcome you all to the Inner Space Friday Night Talk. Today we have Eric Larson, who's joining us from New York. Eric is going to be talking on staying motivated and inspired. Every one of us knows that when we're being motivated and inspired, we feel amazing, possibly on top of the world. And that in that mental state or that emotional state, we find ourselves stimulated with our thoughts, our creativity, and it's the thing that creates energy in our life. So Eric's going to share from his own personal experience. Eric is a civil engineer and a technical consultant by profession. He's based in New York and is the director of the Brahma Kumaris in the United States, as well as a representative for the Brahma Kumaris at the United Nations. Eric, I'm going to hand over to you. And just before I do, just to be clear, if you could post your questions and answers to us on your question and answer link that's in your email, that would be most helpful. I'll be posing your questions to Eric after his talk. Eric, over to you. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to be in London, inner city and inner space, and happy to be able to share a few thoughts about staying motivated and inspired. And not sure how you might commemorate. It's not an anniversary or a celebration in that way, but today here in New York is commemoration 19 years ago of something called 9/11, September 11th. And if you are mature, then you probably remember where you were and what was going on that day for you. I happened to be in New York City. I was working at that time, Midtown Manhattan, if that means anything to you. And a few miles north of the Twin Towers. And gonna just share a little something about that, because we had a floor, the company I worked for, on the 33rd floor near Bryant Park. And so looking south, nothing in the way, and could see great, nice view. And somebody called around 8:30 in the morning and said, come look at the window. And so we all looked out there and couldn't quite figure out what it was, but there was this black smoke coming out of a hole in one of the World Trade Centers. And I'm sure you've all seen videos of that. And so very few saw the first plane, but most everybody in New York saw the second plane. And so we did. There was a second plane. We saw it kind of out of the window. There it goes. And we saw an explosion from the south side, and then we saw another explosion as the fireball came through. And like, wow, what's happening? We listened to the news, we had TV and trying to figure it out, and the news reports were coming in. And basically there are these planes flying around. And when we heard that, the first one was that there were 8 unaccounted planes in the country still out there. And it was like, wow. 8 other planes flying around. The question that immediately came was, are they going to hit the building I'm in? And we're in not an old building, but not a landmark or the tallest building either. And so processed that and thought, well, they're closing the gates and the bridges and systems and locking down the city. Where would I go? So I and just a few others out of 100 stayed. Lots of other people just left for whatever reason. They wanted to get home, but most of them didn't that day, that morning and afternoon. They did eventually. And then thought about myself. What's happening to me at this moment right now? And when I kind of processed that and said, I'm going to be okay. You know, they're not going to hit this building. It's safe where I've got. I brought my lunch. Had a good view of the whole thing, was able to keep in touch with what's going on. So I decided to stay. And after that decision, then there was another thought. And it was like, oh my gosh, I know people down there. You know, I know some people who went to meetings in that building. I have some friends had some offices there. There's another brother who was in the building who tells some wonderful stories about his experience at that time. And it just kind of, you know, immediately after a pause, my awareness and thought moved to a different sphere, a different area. And I started to recognize it, you know, there are people down there that I know, hope they're okay type thing. And after that thought, you know, there's kind of let that come into my mind and process that. Then it was like, you know, I bet there are other people, I went to family, who are thinking about this and hearing this and worrying about it. And so the plane had knocked out the towers on the World Trade Center so that the local cell phones didn't work, but I was in the office and we had long distance, so that did work. So I called a couple people, but specifically in this case, my mom, and said, hey, you know, whatever you hear today, I'm okay. You know, there's stuff going on here, but I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And so kind of checked that off, okay, and a couple others, and then internet was working, email was working, early stages of that, and so was sending messages to some people, and actually they were in Oregon, and they were sending those out, kind of letting people know what was happening. And the item that I just want to highlight with that is how we live in different realms, worlds, thoughts, orbits, however you want to visualize that. But there was this small one about me. What's going to happen to me? And I had a certain thought and a certain consequential feeling with that. And then around that, there was like, well, they're friends, people I work with. What about them? What's happening to them? And there was this other kind of bubble, other world, other this realm that I entered into, which was totally different than myself, others. And then there were family, and then there was kind of world, and kind of painting a picture of how we can be in one thought and have one experience, and that can be layered, embedded, connected, overlapping with other thoughts, other worlds of thoughts. And each one of those had a different experience. Each thought I had created a different experience. And maybe you had that same process 19 years ago if you were around and thinking what's going to happen. If you were in London, you probably didn't think that there were planes flying around you. Maybe you did. But we've also shared, and I believe that it's a similar type of experience this year, that there was news, depending on when you might have heard it, but of stuff happening in China. And so your thoughts went there, my thoughts went there, and it's like, oh, they're having a hard time, and these videos were circulating of people falling over and being nailed into their homes, and it's like, oh, that thought created a certain feeling, but it was separate. It wasn't fearful. It was distance. It was just informational. Another part of the world, oh, wow, look at that. And I happened to be traveling during that period, most of end of February and March. And then it kind of grew, and I was in a town in India, Hyderabad, and was supposed to give some talks and meet some people, and started out okay, but this was at the beginning of March. And all of a sudden, people were saying, you know, we're gonna cancel. We're sending all our employees home. We're not going to have any meetings. We don't think that's the right thing to do. And I actually was kind of relieved. And then it was like, well, I need to get home. And I kind of had that thought about myself. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What's going to happen? And then there's this sense that, okay, well, I was thinking about myself, which I hope you do sometimes too. Not me, but you. And then there's this thought, you know, I'm going to be getting on a plane. And my thought was not just me, but it was like, who am I going to sit next to? Where have they been? What have they been doing? What's going on? And another ring of awareness started to come in. And I'm doing that here at home, and you might have done that also. What do I do? Wash my hands, put on a mask, take care of myself. And then it's like I live in a small apartment complex. But what are my neighbors doing? What are they, where are they going? What's happening? You know, and then I start looking at the doorknob a little differently, and I look at the banister a little differently, and I just enter into another awareness. And then that awareness is not from me to my neighbors, and then to, we had all sorts of updates here about the coronavirus. It came from our town, it came from our county, it came from our state, it came from our state's region, multi-state area, and it came from national, it came from international, all sorts of different thoughts. And I'm going to call them worlds. That when I thought about myself, it was one experience. When I thought about my neighborhood, it was another one. When I thought about the country, it was something else. And when I think about what's going on worldwide, it was another thought, another place, another experience. And what I share from these two, 9/11 and the COVID experience, is that we have many thoughts and we have many different potential experiences. And what I've kind of learned and trying to practice actually is that I have choice. I have a choice which world I want to enter and which experience I want to have. And that's kind of a setup for our topic, is that if I want to be motivated and inspired, what are some of the thoughts that I can have and can create or can move into that will allow me that experience? And we're staying motivated and inspired today. But I would offer that the same methodology, the same routine, the same system would work for anything that you might want. Could be peace, could be fear. You want to be angry all the time? Go into a world and a thought that is full of that quality, and it'll happen. And so want to have you think about something right now. We have a choice. The choice creates the experience and the feeling, and we're going to choose a time when you were inspired. And I want you to go through the files in your mind, a Rolodex of experiences, and see if you can come into a moment where you are inspired. Could be this morning. Oh, this talk is going to be inspiring. Maybe not. Could be this week when you did something. Could be in the past. Could be a long time ago. But see if you can find a scene in your life where you were inspired. Because I want you to have that thought, see that moment, and have that experience of inspiration. See if you can do that in the next few moments. So hoping a picture, a scene came in, and hoping that a feeling also came with that. Thoughts, feelings, experiences, they're connected. And so whether it was arbitrary or specific, whether you had something or still working on it, you have a scene, you have a moment, you recall the file, and you have the experience of being inspired. So see what you're doing. See how that works out. And sometimes when we're inspired, our thought comes for what we want. Okay, might be small little things, could be just, you know, for me, for the last few months, I don't know if you overheard this, but gosh, it's inspiring. I can go outside and I'm gonna go to the grocery store, you know, and I'm gonna plan for a few dinners and this is what I want and wow, this is pretty exciting. Maybe not for you, and maybe not on the range of the greatest things to do, but when we have a thought, one of the things about inspiring and being motivated is to have a plan, and that plan somehow allows us, and I'm going to offer, to be creative. That when we are thinking of something and wanting something and trying to align some energy, there's a creative energy that flows with that. And that is something that, for me, I find wonderful. That's a quality that I can hold on to something, want something, and see that. And so all of a sudden, this is what I want. You know, I want to eat. Okay, what do I want to eat? Well, I actually am thinking, some fruit would be good. Some oranges I'm supposed to have, and that's there, and I need something, so I'm going to have a salad. And what salad? Cucumber and tomatoes, and get some carrots, and, you know, that whole process of staying connected to my needs allows me to be a little creative. And that's an inspiring process. I want you to think about inspiration and creativity. But maybe food isn't the main item for you that you want. Maybe it's something else that would be there. And so that brings in a nice question for us. What do you want? What is important? And therefore, what is going to be inspiring? One of the things about our lives, our activities, is what gets us up in the morning? What is it that you want to live for? What is it that you want to do? What do you want to create? And one of the things that helps me is to actually make a list. Make a list of the things that I like, that I want, that somehow, you know, I'm not stuck. Because if I don't have my list, if I don't have my goals, if I don't have some sort of reason, then I can get stuck. I can get unmotivated. I can get de-inspired. I can be uninspired. I can be, you know, lethargic. And maybe that topic was chosen because you've had that experience. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. You know, it's like, oh, have you ever had that experience? I've got these sheets on top of me and I have to figure out how to get them off. And then I have to figure out where my right leg is. And then I have to figure out how to get my right leg off to the side. And then I have to sit up. And then hard work sometimes. Okay, as opposed to jumping out of bed. But when we start to have a purpose, a reason, a goal, an inspiration, some way to let our creative energy flow, it's easy. And so tapping into what is the quality, what is the purpose, what is my goal, is an important question for us to think about. I feel very good about what I do. I teach people meditation. I help. I've got some tasks. It's not so hard. It's not so much so that I got some free time to fill it in, eating my salad, however it's going to be. But sometimes that's hard to come up with a purpose or a reason. And so we're going to kind of see if we can back into that. It's not always clear in our conscious. But a little interesting way is, have you ever not liked something? You know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, this, that's not right, I don't have a purpose, I don't have a goal, I'm not inspired, there's nothing out there because of whatever. And if you can listen to yourself and think about why you don't want to do something, what is missing? What is lacking? What is not there? And then kind of boil it down to see what the core is. Usually, if you can understand that process, it is a value is missing. I don't want to do that because it's not peaceful, it's not loving, it's not honest, it's not true, it's not, you know, supportive, it's not cooperative, it's not. When you say not about something, you're actually getting closer to what it is that you want. And if you can listen to yourself when you are not happy with something, something is missing, something that you value. And so what is it that you value that's missing? And if you can put your head into that and identify it, you will always be motivated. You will always be inspired because that's your core value. That is what is important to you. And I did that a lot in college and work. The job I had, I liked it because I worked for an insurance company as an engineer, as a consultant, and I would go into these places and look at what they did. There was a lot of manufacturing in the United States then, a long time ago, and see what they did and realize, ooh, I'm glad I don't have to come here every day, you know, for whatever reason, because it wasn't what I wanted. And it didn't have the feeling that I wanted to be a part of. It didn't have the environment that I wanted. And so when I know that this isn't what I want and this isn't what I want, that was a process for me to get closer to what I wanted to do. And so offer that as a way to get closer to a purpose or a goal for yourself. And if you have a purpose and a goal, that can help you think about how to do it. That brings creativity. And that's kind of a basis for being motivated and inspired. However, saying no to this and no to this is a long process. It was for me. And if you keep saying no to things, you lose energy. I did. I don't want to do that. That's not right. This isn't good. I don't want to do that. That's no fun. Whatever the reason or the excuse was, that's exactly how I felt. But then didn't necessarily work for me this way, but I know that it does now, is I realized that I needed to not focus on myself. That there's other principles that I was able to kind of back into, understand, not consciously at first. But one of the reasons I took a job is I wanted to be able to eat, wanted to be able to have a home. And those were very motivating and inspiring to me. If I did not do this, I don't know what would have happened. Didn't want to stay at home at that time. I wanted to move out, wanted to kind of grow up. And so I was inspired to meet my needs. That's one way. But if your needs are met and you're still not feeling it, there's a principle that I learned. And that when I want something, if I look for it, then sometimes I can't find it and things get blocked. Lethargic. Not interested. And the way that it works for me now is that there's something called flow of energy, of resources. And you all know this, that whatever what goes around comes around. Whatever you put out comes back. That whole concept is quite profound. What you plan, so you reap, action, reaction, lots of different ways to understand that principle. But the way it can work in another way is that if you're not inspired, if you're not motivated, if you are lacking that energy, rather than expecting it to come or creating it yourself, because sometimes, you know, a writer's block, not inspired, it's not the right thing happening, you can kind of trick the system, if it's a trick, by whatever you want, giving it away. If you want to have more happiness in your life, you're not happy, people around you aren't happy, consciously start to act with that, give it, act it, share it, and that principle of return will operate. So if you are not inspired and not motivated, you still have a choice. You can be left in that world of thought. I am not this. I am not this. This isn't me. And it will be true. That's the thought you have. That's the world you're going to create. That's the experience. That will be your reality. And you will be right. But you can make a conscious decision also. I'm not feeling inspired, but let me do something inspiring. Let me act in that way. And if I start to act that way, even though I don't feel that way, and start to give it, share it, use it, it automatically, sometime, somehow has to come. Because what you're also doing is breaking that pattern. You're also disrupting. You're also moving to another world. You're also moving into another realm and experience. And so the power of our choice, for me, is huge. How do I want to be? Let me start acting that way. Let me start being that way. Let me start moving that way. And it will come. I learned this at work. I wasn't real excited about work. It was work. But I found that if I came in with an attitude of cooperation and lightness, and greeted people that way and started projecting that and started to move myself and act that way, no matter how I felt, I got the response I wanted from them, and that's what happened. They were cooperative. They would respond. It would be enjoyable. And I could, you know, get ready to go on stage, ring a doorbell. Here I am. This is what I'm here to do. And move and kind of command that thought. And that thought created that experience. And that experience is what I would share. And when I shared it, that's the response that I got. And most times, if not all, it worked out better than if I had gone in there upset, depressed, angry, unprepared, unhappy, negative, totally different experiences. And I've realized how much influence I have in my own life. And that influence is that I can create a thought and an experience and live in that, because they're all real. Me thinking about myself on 9/11 was real. Me thinking about my friends is real. Me thinking about my family is real. Me be thinking about the world is real. But they're all different. And so where do I want to dally? Where do I want to tarry? Where do I want to hang out? What are the thoughts that I'd like for myself so that the experiences are in line with myself, motivated and inspired? One of the elements, I hope this is okay. One of the thoughts that I have that works for me also is do stuff. I said give things away, but that's not always the easiest, and sometimes we have to think about it. It's definitely going to be a practice. But another way is to take care of something. Learn to be engaged with something other than yourself. You know, it can be a variety of things. It could be your friends. Do you call them? Do you do something with them these days? It's a little harder now. But to think about their needs. Automatically, you're thrust into that world if you have aging parents or young children. You are thinking about them. You have to do something to get outside of yourself. Pets are like that also. Not saying you should go get a goldfish or a gerbil or anything, but when you have to think of something else, it takes you out of your own lethargy. It kind of moves you into that world, if not moving the meter a little, to inspired, motivated. Oh, I gotta walk the dog. I don't walk the dog, it's going to stay inside, it'll make a mess, let me think that through. That's enough motivation for me to get out of bed and take the dog outside. A easier way and less consequential for life, and this is what works for me, is plants. if you have to tend a plant, you have to think about it. And that takes you outside of yourself. And if you want to keep it alive, you have to do this, you have to do that, put it in the sun, a little water, not too much water. But I have the luxury, I guess it might be, some would say it's a chore, but we have a backyard in the meditation center that I hang out at, go to. And it's got, we've made a plot. And so right now, I'd like to show you a picture. I didn't take a picture of it, but it is one vine crawling all over another vine. So we've got some zucchini and we've got some different squash, and they call it this a pumpkin and something else, I don't know, but they're all over the tomatoes. And but we got basil, we got tomato, we got some squash. I planted a potato that was going bad, had some eyes coming out of it, had some potatoes. But this is my interest because it takes me out of myself and keeps me in tune with the actual present moment. What's happening today? What's going on there? What is, you know, it's almost like a surprise. You can have a relationship with flowers, you can have a relationship with the trees, watching them. But if you tune into nature, its cycles, and its day-to-day, it's quite fascinating. And to me it is. And that sense that I have to do something, something is relying on me. And I am being asked to keep something tended, alive. That part of the process has its results, have its experiences. Things follow through. When I have to go and look at the garden, get the tomatoes, pick the basil for the pasta, weed those things, I'm out of my head about myself. And that allows a different energy to come in, and it's almost like cleaning. I hope you can understand that, kind of not a laborious kind of demolition cleaning, but opening up the windows, fresh air inside feeling. That when I'm able to do something for others or have an awareness that takes me outside of myself, I've left a realm of uninspired, unmotivated. And I move into another place, and I'm hoping that if it's not any of these examples, that you can find something for yourself. It's fun, that it's creative, and therefore that is the energy that you're living with. And that's kind of a fundamental question for me. What is the energy? What is the life that you create through your choices? And over time, it's been very clear to me how I want to be. I want to be happy. I want to be loved. I want to be peaceful. I want to be a good neighbor. I know a lot of how I want to act. And so I plan and practice holding that thought, seeing myself trying to be that way, giving out that energy, knowing that that somehow will return. And it is a methodology of showing interest and having that. Sometimes getting out of our stuck thoughts are hard. And so making a list, writing it down. What do you value? What do you like? What has been inspiring? Because that will move you into another world, another place, another realm, another thought, another opportunity to be how you want to be. We play a game, watching time a little. Give me a timeout or whatever signal's happening. But I also have the opportunity, not so much this year, to go up to our retreat center. There's a retreat center we have in New York, about 2 hours or so north of New York City. We call it Peace Village. And do a number of retreats up there. And one of the things, another element is, it's great for me to go out, and I like to go out by myself, into the woods with a camera. And just wait to be surprised. Not necessarily looking for anything, but just being available for whatever reveals itself. It's like, oh, look at that, take a picture. Used to have a nice camera with film, and now I can take 25,000 pictures digitally and never know what to do with those. So if you are really inspired and you want to sort out some of the pictures I've got, let me know. Not sure how we'll work that out, but it won't be impossible. But we've had retreats, and one was called The Great Outdoors. And at The Great Outdoors, we talk about, you know, relationships, lessons from nature and such like that. It's kind of an excuse to hang outside. A lot of fun in the summer. Haven't done that this year. But one of the elements that we have is in that process, there is a treasure hunt. And in the treasure hunt, we ask individuals in the retreat, it's great. You know, a lot of them for the city, it's like, oh, you know, are there bears out there? And what's going to happen to me? So a lot of times they haven't been in the wild, and it's a huge forest that we have access to. Kind of a New York wilderness. Not that bad. It's great. But we ask them questions. Give them a list of 10 things to go out and walk around, usually with a partner. They like partners. See if you can find a scene of peace. See if you can identify how nature reveals its sense of humor. See if you can find determination. And we give them a list of different qualities, not objects, but a value or an experience, a quality to look for. And then, you know, we ask them to take a pen and paper and write it down. And why I mention that is because everybody who goes out and works on this or plays with this or participates in this finds those moments. Whatever you ask, they find it. And what I find is with a little time, if you start looking for something where there's cooperation, and that's the lens, that's the filter that you have on, you see it. And I learned amazing through all of this, that whatever you want, if you start to think about it and look for it, you will be successful. Huge understanding that if we start to just hold on to it, and these are people who don't practice much and just are asked to go out and wander around some, you know, the pond and the trees and the grass and whatever else is out there, they can find it. Ooh, here's two trees. They're connected. They're cooperating. Might not be the best example, but it was for them. They want to succeed. They want to see. They do see because that's their intent. And so if our intent is to be inspired or to be motivated, then to have that question in the mind, what do I see that is inspiring around me? What do I see where there is motivation being revealed to me? Maybe I see motivation in the person who's delivering the papers early in the morning. Maybe I'm seeing the clouds being motivated to move, how fast they move. Maybe there's, I don't know, there's lots of different ways, but I know that if you hold a thought and have that question and make that the lens that you see, that's going to be the world that you enter. That's going to be the opportunity for you to get whatever you might be wanting. I don't know if that makes some sense, but in that awareness, I'd like you to try that. And if it's okay now, looking for a little guidance on time, but I'd like to have a little reflection of what's been said.
And that'd be lovely.
Okay. Yes. Is that all right? Just a few minutes maybe or something?
Yes.
I asked you to, early on, think of a scene a memory of the moment when you were inspired. And see if you can go back to that event, that memory, that moment where you were inspired. And you have made a choice. You have selected a thought, most probably a picture also appears inside your head. And you are doing something, or you are seeing something. It is activating your energy. You are feeling an energy of inspiration, because you have chosen that. And that feeling of inspiration isn't limited to only that one moment. But if you try, you can separate it from that event and just hold on to that experience. So now just go deep into that feeling, world, thought of inspiration. You are inspired. You are inspiring. Your presence gives people energy because you choose to be an energy giver. You aren't stuck, but you can move into that thought, the flow of energy being creative. And there are different ways that you can move through your life. You have a choice. And so be creative in how it is that you want to be next. I can try a different quality. I can look for a different quality. And in all those actions and processes, I will experience the different values and qualities that I'm looking for. And just remembering to be engaged and to look for something wonderful will always keep you motivated and inspired. I hope this was an inspiring few moments for you. It's been fun to look at the Zoom screen and share a few thoughts, but I believe we might have a little time for feedback, response. I think it was phrased, if you have any answers, write those down. If you have any questions, write those down. I'd be very happy to hear the answers that you have, because I have lots of questions too.
Thank you, Eric. So before I produce any answers for you, or as people send them in, the very first question I have here is, I would like to know, once you have the initial motivation and you act on it, how do you keep the motivation going to keep going instead of quitting?
Mm-hmm. There's a number of ways that can keep that is, but gauge your activity in the realms of your ability to succeed. Okay. Not used so often with people who would know, but there's a number of analogies, but the easiest one for me is the salami analogy. Does everybody know what a salami is? It's kind of a big, long piece of meat. I'm a vegetarian, so can't have it. Didn't have it for a long time. Many, 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 many years. But it works. And it's hard to eat a whole salami at one sitting. But if you slice it into small little bits, then you are going to feed yourself and you can manage that. And so bit by bit, you can succeed at a big task. And so how to keep motivated is break things down. Okay, I want to do this, whatever it is. I want to plant a garden. Okay, well, if it's going to be this, and I want corn, and I want potatoes, and I want soybeans and such, I want a cow, it's going to be like, oh, that's too work. I would stop. But if it's like, okay, I want to plant a garden in this case, whatever you are thinking of, and I'm inspired to do that, what's the first thing that I can do? What's the next thing that I can do? And step by step, you will feed yourself accomplishment, success, victory, that sense that, yeah, I can do this. I can do one more thing. I can do one extra. I can, you know, make that plan. If I need help, I know how to ask. And that's how it would work for me, because I know that sometimes people will say, oh, we have to do this. And it's like, oh, that's way too much. I can't think of that. And when that passes, then it's like, all right, now what? What can we actually do? And then for me, I write it down, I break it down, and I make it so that I can actually accomplish those things. Sometimes I need help. Sometimes I need to know where I need help. But that's how I would stay motivated or inspired, is to think of trying to do something not by doing it all at one time, okay? For the golfers in there, okay? The process is fun. You want to play golf and you want to shoot a low score. You can't shoot a low score on every hole instantaneously. One shot, plan the next one, think about what you're going to do, take that shot, and then you get to where you want to go. You want to have the vision of a day and a low score. That's fine. That's the goal. But you can't do that all at one time. And so one shot, one club, walking, thinking, planning, enjoy it. Enjoy that process. And then all of a sudden, that motivation is going to be self-sustaining. Check it out. Let me know.
Okay. Nice and practical. Thank you. How do you find happiness with the current restrictions, frustrations on life with the pandemic?
Yeah, makes it a little challenging, huh? One of the things that, my circumstances are not yours, and I don't have as many details to have to manage. And so those frustrating moments are daunting, okay? And if you can recognize that it's a humongous task, and in order to handle that task of managing self and restrictions and limitations and maybe not working, I mean, there's some truly horrible scenarios floating around in the world, in our communities, probably in your neighborhood. Hope not too many of you. But if we recognize that we're going to have a challenge, then I need to fortify myself. I need to know that this day is going to be hard. I'm going to have to do this. Excuse me. I'm going to have to deal with this one. I'm going to have, you know, lots of things that I don't want. But what I want is not how the world operates. I have to deal with the world as it presents itself. And so I have to prepare myself. And so for me, I need to take some time moving into that world or orbit or energy or feeling that will nurture me. I have to spend some time being peaceful. I have to spend some time being loved. I have to spend some time choosing to have the thought of being inspired. And I need to practice that so that I have that energy, that routine, that power, so that when I go out and have to face this or deal with that, I'm doing it from a stronger place. I know that that's true for myself, that when I'm fed, not overfed, I'm in a better mood. I know that when I'm rested, as opposed to too tired, I do things better. I know that when I'm happy and peaceful, I interact with people much different than when I'm short on that. And so dealing with the circumstances in the lives today means a preparation for that to be the way you want yourself to be. You're not going to change the outside circumstances, but you do have choice and ability and power to decide how you're going to interact with those. That's kind of how I do it. I want to be happy. Let me practice being happy. Not a lot to be happy around. I mean, America's on fire right now. The parts that's not on fire, it's going to have hurricanes. The part that's not have hurricanes, they've got college kids, and the college kids all have, I mean, anywhere you look, we got problems all over the world. I can't imagine that you're much different. But what am I going to do about that? Are those the thoughts that I want to set with? No. Are those the things I need to know about? Yes. Do I want to somehow be able to manage how I think about those events? Definitely. And so how do you see yourself? How do you want to be? How do you practice being that? And how do you bring that into the circumstances as they come moment by moment? Think about what you have to do now. Do it. And another event, another situation will come. Think about that when that arrives. That helps me.
Okay. How do you plan to be peaceful and motivated is one question. And somebody else is saying, you seem to think that peace is essential for being inspired and motivated, but doesn't peace mean you're being laid back?
To me, no. Peace does not mean laid back. Peace means, centered. It means clear. It means ready. Okay. I go outside and in the backyard again, and we have some trees. And I can sit around them, and you might describe them as peaceful, because they're not doing a lot. They're not laid back. They look like they're laid back, but they're actually have created a system where they are ready. They have a system of nurturing, and when the wind comes, they have a way of managing that, that they are ready to do the next thing. And so I want you to see peaceful not as, I'm not going to deal with anything and I have to do it, but as an energy that you can use. I'll use tennis. Sports are coming up. But if you ever watch a match, and I don't know if they're doing Wimbledon this year or not. I think they're doing the U.S. Open right now here in New York. No audience. And different people are losing. I'm not sure who's all playing. But if you watch that closely, or if you know the game, the good tennis player is kind of at the center of the back of the court and hitting the shots back and forth. And the less good is running back and forth, okay? And so if you see that person as being laid back, fine. But if you see them as prepared and ready and focused and in the right position to do the best thing, they're saving their energy. They are doing the appropriate action without running back and forth. And so peaceful is the mind being in a state where it is not being disturbed. Doesn't mean it's absent or empty or not engaged, but it takes a lot of energy to be the player who doesn't run. And you're powerful when you do that. And so peace is a power and it is a preparation, and you're at peace. You can have all sorts of weapons, and people will look and say, nah, I don't think that's the case. You can be peaceful and powerful, but that doesn't mean that you haven't prepared. It doesn't mean that you aren't engaged in activity. And for me, it is a state of calm observation, readiness, contentment, but strength and availability. Hope that might make some sense.
So how do you plan to be peaceful and motivated?
How do I plan? I like to take naps every once in a while. That's a good thing. I highly recommend a nap. But to know myself and engage myself, find the things that I want to do. Okay, I kind of made a list of the things that are motivating. One of the qualities that I still am doing, it's on Zoom now, but I teach some classes. I used to be in person. And finding someone at a level who is similar or wants to be similar, who wants to learn. I teach some meditation. And there's a difference between interacting with those who don't get it, don't like it, are kind of, you know, disagreeing. They might be right. It has an effect on me. But when there is someone who understands what I'm communicating and they respond and are lighting up, asking insightful questions, there is an interaction with that. There is a return. It's almost like a show. The audience claps, the performers do well. And that's why, you know, kind of a tangent, I think. But sports is going to be interesting. I'm not sure how it is in London now. But a lot of sports doesn't have an audience. Basketball doesn't, tennis doesn't, football, they're trying a few things here, American football. But that energy that the audience gives is not being received by the performers. And so it's a different world for them. But if you can find yourself in a situation where what you put out is responded to and comes back, it automatically moves you. It automatically gives you a chance to get better, to research, to think, to do, to be motivated. And if you can find someone who you share interest with, who, you know, challenges you, that's a motivation also. So it doesn't only have to come within yourself, but how you apply that and who you apply that with, what arena that might take place, are all different venues for continuing on with that feeling of being inspired and motivated.
Okay, this is the last question because we are now running out of time. How do you deal with lack of motivation because of a fear that things might not work out?
Okay. Resign yourself that it's not going to work out. Okay. And if you recognize that it's not going to work out the way you think it should, then you're going to be fine. Okay. It's going to work out the way it works out. And so be surprised, be amazed, feel that, you know, it can have different energy, because if it only can be the way I want it to be, I put a box around everything. But one of the things I hope you can think about is that if I take a step and have a goal or a plan, but I'm allowing that to grow and I can include, then there can be amazing things that I couldn't do on my own. And you should all know that, right? If you are in a family or in a work situation and you don't like somebody, just imagine that they're not there and you have to do their work, okay? And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you know, maybe we can work this out for you to stay and do the cooking, or you can stay and do the accounting, or you can, you know, you can't do everything. So how can we plan and think and allow for other things to come in, which will be even better than what we can do by ourselves? It's kind of an interesting process that we are wanting things, but we should also be able to allow the rest of the world to make itself available. And we can take that into a spiritual realm because there's other energies that exist that if you allow them to, can appear. But if you block them, you're kind of stuck with yourself. And if you don't get the results, you can kind of say it's not worth it. So we have to kind of change our mindset sometimes.
Thank you. Eric, it's breathing away and people are saying thank you very, very much for your wisdom, your advice. It's much appreciated. Your thoughtful responses and for a very interesting talk amongst other things. So from all of us, many, many thanks. And to everybody who joined us, we look forward to having you join us again. And we've had a lovely evening. So thank you very, very much, everybody.